Hare Krishna, I welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference call. Today is very, very special because we do the Prabhupada Leela Amrita every Friday. And today we have an extra special speaker. It's my great honor and privilege to be doing this introduction for our wonderful speaker today. Today we have Gail Mataji, also known as Gaurangi Mataji from Bhakti Sangha. Gail Mataji had been a regular Christian church goer from infancy, and then in response to her heart's yearning for practical and spiritual understanding, Krishna arranged for her to meet with the devotees during the holiday season of 1996 at the Vegetarian Spiritualist Club, an outreach program that was conducted by Western devotees at Rutgers University. Even though she was never a student there, she went there and she met devotees. Those devotees were connected to the ISKCON temple in Tohvaco, New Jersey. And that is where she met her two principal Siksha Gurus, Dhanurdhar Swami Maharaj and Mother Savitri, who has been living on Bhakti Sangha for quite some time. And they nourished her attraction to Krishna consciousness ever since. For the past several years, since 1996, our dear Gaurangi Mataji has been attending many classes, mainly in the Bhakti Center in New York City and our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call.
Yes.
So,
how did I forget that?
It's so amazing that we have her on the hot seat today. Usually it is Mataji who's asking the questions. So today I urge everybody to raise hands and ask as many questions as you want to Mataji as we hear her speak her beautiful class today. Excited to have you, Mataji. It's a day that we have all been waiting for. And thanks to Vinita Gandharvika Mataji for taking this effort to convince Gaurangi Mataji, because I've tried several times in the past and failed miserably. So today, we are very fortunate to have you on the call, Mataji. The call is all yours. You can take over. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, it's only because Vinita Mataji knows the art of blackmailing.
Yes.
She knows that she asked me to do this on a day that I couldn't refuse. It was Nityananda Trayodasi, and it was asking for Srila Prabhupada's glorification. So, you know, I had no outlet. I was totally trapped into this. And because this is my first time and I'm in so much anxiety, I am desperately pleading for all of your prayers to get me through this. And I myself am praying that all of you will get at least one thing that you found meaningful and relevant from this talk today. Something that you will be able to take away to nourish your own Krishna consciousness. That's all I ask today. So please. Prayers, prayers, prayers.
Definitely, Mataji. I think Kirtida Mataji wanted to say something. Okay, I thought she unmuted.
Hare Krishna, Gaurangi Mataji. So happy to see you. When I saw you this year, you know. And today, after seeing you, I could realize that I have met you. I don't know whether you remember me or not.
My goodness, Tobacco. I can't believe all this time you didn't know that it was me.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I can't believe it.
It's serious.
I've known you for so many years. I can't believe that it took my giving a class for you to know who I am.
Oh,
I can't believe it.
Really?
So many years. I know you so many years from programs.
Yes, Mataji, I know you
all this time.
Warm hug always, and I didn't know that you are the one who is there.
Oh my God, I can't believe. Well, it's a good thing I'm giving the class.
Yes. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for coming. And I remember even I persuaded you to speak on, you know, Krishna Katha when that mela was going on. But you don't want to come. But
no.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, because you didn't ask me on Nityananda Trayodasi.
At the time, I don't know. Now I'm feeling so awkward in my position that I was answering your question. Come on, you are so elevated.
No.
From now on, I'm not going to answer your questions. I'm
so this is, today is a comeback time for all of us. So everyone can ask questions, okay?
Ask her. She's so elevated. So good.
No. Today you will understand why I have been asking so many questions. Today you will understand. Anyway.
Mataji, I'll not take much of your time. I'm overwhelmed with that love.
Thank you. Yes, wow. Mataji urges us to ask you for a class on Gaur Purnima, which we are booking right away. We will do that. So be prepared, Mataji.
Thank you. One heart attack a year is all I can do. One heart attack.
This is what you said the first time too. Yeah. Okay, now without any further ado.
Mataji, can Mataji put her phone instead of horizontal, yes, vertical way so we can.
Wait a minute. Like this? I don't know.
Yes, this is perfect.
Can you see me properly? I don't know. Should I go back? I don't know what I'm doing.
I think it's good, right?
Yeah.
Is my head cut off? Is my head cut off?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Because I don't know what I'm doing here. Let me see. Okay.
Okay. So without further ado, I hand over the call to Gaurangi Mataji, who is now going to enlighten us on chapter 15 of Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita. The call
is Mataji. Wait, Vinita told me it was 14.
Did I say? Okay, I said it wrong then. It's 14. Chapter 14 of Prabhupada Leelamrita. Sorry for that.
Let me see. The chapter it is called Struggling Alone.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Okay. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Mutilation Bhakti Varata Swami Tanakame Namaste Saraswati Deva Guruvan Pracharani Nirvishesha Shinwari Pashka Vishatarani. Please, Prabhupada, help me. Okay. So, as we've just said, you know, I was assigned to do this chapter today. It's the chapter that comes after Srila Prabhupada has just left Butler, Pennsylvania. And the time period that it spans is from October 18th, I think, to the end of November. Yeah. When I was reading this chapter, what struck me very prominently was the warmth that was felt by the various people that Srila Prabhupada interacted with in Butler. And after he left Butler, in Philadelphia and in New York City, that was very striking for me. And that's what prompted me to decide to focus in on Srila Prabhupada, the person that's behind the acharya, the person behind the position, because I think for me, and I think I'm like many other people, you know, our hearts are captivated not by a person's position, but by their heart. And their heart means how they deal with others, you know, on a personal one-on-one basis. And so, especially because this was in the inception of Prabhupada's mission, we get to see so much of that one-on-one type of interaction. So I was thinking to, you know, cite the various interactions that show or illustrate this very endearing side of our founder Acharya, and the warmth that he exuded in his dealings with people. And since, you know, this chapter that I'm supposed to cover today is very close, you know, in terms, it's very close to the beginning of his time in this country, because he landed here, I think September 17th, spent time with the Agarwals, and then by this chapter today, it was October 18th, and he moved away. But since he was, you know, since it's so close to the beginning, I actually wanted to cite a couple of interactions that we saw in the previous chapter before I start citing the ones of today's chapter, just because they illustrate so nicely his personality. So in the last chapter, we saw that Srila Prabhupada met a professor or a chairman of the philosophy department at Slippery Rock College in Pennsylvania. And Srila Prabhupada was supposed to speak at his class. And I wanted to, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be reading, you know, the various interactions that Srila Prabhupada had with these various people. And so here was this head of the philosophy department. His name was Alan Larson. And this is how Srila Prabhupada struck him. He said, when we were driving to Slippery Rock, I asked him, he asked Srila Prabhupada to pronounce his name for me so I would have it right when I introduced him to my class. He said, Swamiji Bhaktivedanta. And then he proceeded to tell me what that meant. Since I was not used to Indian names, he had to repeat it several times before I got it right. He showed no impatience with my slowness. Even at this early junction of our association, I was convinced that this man had an inner stability and strength that would be very difficult to shake. And this initial impression was further reinforced throughout the rather busy day. And then he also says later on, but during the course of the day, there grew in me a warm affection for this man, because he was unmistakably a good man who had found his way to a stability and peace that is very rare. I also thought it was very nice that, you know, when Professor Larson and Srila Prabhupada were on this college campus, they were sitting outside, you know, I think maybe on a bench or something. And Prabhupada was looking at the trees around, you know, and remarking how beautiful they were. And so he asked, what kind of trees are these? And the professor replied, they're shade trees. Prabhupada said, that was too bad. They weren't fruit or nut trees to provide food and benefit for people. So that got my attention, because it showed me that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, in the forefront of his consciousness, was always the welfare of everybody, you know? So even when it came to something just like ordinary trees, he was thinking, how could ordinary trees benefit the people in general, you know? So that struck me. So that was his interaction with Alan Larson. Then there was, of course, Sally Agarwal. And her, you know, her and her husband, their experience with Srila Prabhupada was that, you know, he had strict policies in how he dealt with himself. You know, obviously, you know, he didn't partake of the illicit things that they did, but, you know, they were impressed that he would never impose his own policies on anybody else, you know. And when they would make apologies for, you know, whatever illicit things they were doing, he would be like thinking, you know, think nothing of it. You know, he would always try to make people feel very much at ease. So, you know, that was, you know, his sensitivity towards others. Here is something that another thing that Sali Agarwal said. She said, and he was so brilliant that when he saw someone twice, he knew who they were. He remembered. He was a brilliant man. Or if he met them in our apartment and saw them in a car, he would remember their name and he would wave and say their name. You know, he was a brilliant man. All the people liked him. You know, this remembering people's names, you know, it's a very important way to show other people that their existence matters. They're not just, you know, a nameless face in the crowd, because nobody feels himself to be a nameless face in the crowd, you know? And so it's natural for other people to want that acknowledged. And Srila Prabhupada was very good at that. You know, so yes, all the people liked him. They were amazed at how intelligent he was. The thing that got them was the way he remembered their name, right? And his humorous way. He looked so serious all the time, but he was a very humorous person. He was forbidding in his looks, but he was very charming. So this is our Srila Prabhupada, you know? He wasn't like just all business and, you know, down with the Mayavadis and, you know, it's time to, you know, four legs and, you know, that, 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 you know, there was a very soft human side to him too. Let's see. Then let's see some other examples. This is also at the Agarwal's. So every day he'd have this big feast. And, you know, because Srila Prabhupada, of course, he would do his own cooking. And then he would share, you know. And everything was great fun. We really enjoyed it. I would help him cut the things. He would spice it. And we would laugh. He was the most enjoyable man. Most enjoyable man. I really felt like a sort of daughter to him, even in such a short time. Like he was my father-in-law. He was a friend of my father-in-law, but I really felt very close to him. He enjoyed everything. I liked him. I thought he was tremendous. You know, look at what a deep impact he had on a perfect stranger in such a short time. And this is how all the people who I will cite during this talk today, they would all basically be saying the same thing. You know, the Srila Prabhupada's impact on them was immediate and simultaneously deep. Sally also cites this one incident where her baby, who was only 6 or 7 months old at the time, you know, he was able to stand up for the first time, you know. And, you know, and so he was successful in standing up. And Srila Prabhupada, he stood up and clapped. It was a celebration, she said. So, I mean, that was, you know, very, you know, human, heartwarming thing for a big, you know, well, I mean, say he wasn't well known at the time, but, you know, he was still a Swami, you know. You know, he wasn't uptight, you know. He had emotions and he showed them. Yeah, and so, you know, it's because Srila Prabhupada was able to carve out a space in Sally Agarwal's heart that, you know, it really, she was really distraught when she had to let him go to New York on his own, you know, because by this time she had developed such a motherly love and affection for him, you know, so she was feeling very protective. It was just like, you know, just imagine you have I don't know, it's just like sending a 6-year-old or, you know, 6 or 7 elementary school child out to New York on their own. I mean, that's like inconceivable for any of us to do that, you know? And this is the mood that she had toward Prabhupada, you know? She just saw him as needing protection, you know, needing her, you know, needing that care. And the thought of his making his way on his own was, to quote her, she said it made her sick, the thought of that. You know, because she, you know, because Prabhupada had that childlike innocence about him, you know, that purity. And that invoked Sally's, you know, paternal affection. Or parental, that's what I meant. Parental affection for Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so now the chapter that I'm supposed to cover. Okay, so in this chapter called Struggling Alone, Srila Prabhupada has left Butler, Pennsylvania, and is going to connect with Dr. Ramamurti Mishra, and he's going to be staying with him for several weeks. This Dr. Ramamurti Mishra, he was, you know, I mean, even from India, he was a guru. You know, he was Mayavad, you know, he's he was a follower of Shankaracharya. He was a Sanskrit scholar. He was a medical doctor. He had authored some books, you know. He had a yoga studio. He had an ashram called Ananda Ashram. The yoga studio was in New York City. The ashram was north of New York City, about an hour north in this town called Monroe. It was called Ananda Ashram. Yeah, so, he had all these things going on. But one thing he didn't have going on was his health. He was a very sick man. He was like, I think he himself felt like he was on his way out, like he was dying. He had, as he said, you know, become like a skeleton. But Srila Prabhupada, in his very compassionate, human, caring nature, nursed him back to health. You know, this is how Dr. Mishra describes Srila Prabhupada. And you know, and what Srila Prabhupada did for him. He says, my goodness, this is like, this shows how deeply Srila Prabhupada affected people. He said, His Holiness Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Goswamiji really knocked me down with love.
He was really an incarnation of love. My body had become a skeleton, and he really brought me back to life. His cooking, and especially his love and his devotion to Lord Krishna. I was very lazy in the matter of cooking, but he would get up and have ready. So, you know, he nursed Dr. Mishra in such an affectionate way, despite Dr. Mishra being so offensive to Srila Prabhupada's dearmost friend, which is our Krishna. You know, he was, you know, with his Mayavadi language, you know, Srila Prabhupada said he found it very insulting, actually. He actually said that word. He said it was insulting to Krishna that Dr. Mishra would think that Maya or illusion is more powerful than Krishna. You know, even Lord Chaitanya himself, he said, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi, which means Mayavadi impersonalists are great offenders unto Lord Krishna. You know? So, I don't know if Dr. Mishra realized it, but by accepting this Mayavad philosophy, you know, he was in effect saying that Krishna is defeated by Maya, you know? So my point, though, is that although Dr. Mishra's language was so terribly offensive to Srila Prabhupada, nevertheless, he took such grand care of that same man. You know, normally, we in the mundane world, we have inimical feelings toward those who have inimical feelings toward our friends and family, you know, but Srila Prabhupada treated Dr. Mishra like nothing like that was ever said. You know, I mean, for most people, the most they could do was just like, you know, maybe stay away from the person. You know, that's as good as it would get, maybe. But to actually, you know, take care of the person and put so much effort into the care of such a person, I mean, I just thought that was way above and beyond. Probably kind of inconceivable for me, anyway. You know, and another way in which Srila Prabhupada showed that he didn't allow being at philosophical odds to come between them, you know, they had a driver. When Srila Prabhupada and Dr. Mishra would go to Dr. Mishra's Ananda Ashram, upstate New York, they had a driver. What's her name? Susan, I think. No, Joan. Joan Suval. I'm about to come to her. But she would drive them up and she would hear them in the back seat of the car having these like really intense arguments. You know, they were like very animated. You know, I mean, they were in Hindi, but she said that they were shouting arguments. You know, but then afterward, they would again become friends. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so let me So that was Dr. Mishra. Let me now talk about that same person who would drive them to that Ananda Ashram up in Monroe. Because, you know, this woman, Joan Suval, she was a student of Dr. Mishra. And this is how Srila Prabhupada affected her. You know, she reminded me of Sally Agarwal's experience, you know, because she also saw Srila Prabhupada in that pure childlike way. She said, "Swamiji was very sweet. I myself remember him as a very, very good man." She said, "I have a memory of Swamiji as a child in the sense of his being very innocent, a very simple person, very pure." She also talked about her teacher, Dr. Mishra's impression of Srila Prabhupada. She said that Dr. Mishra regarded Swamiji as a father figure who was kindly and good. Because Dr. Mishra, he was young enough to be Srila Prabhupada's son. He was 44 years old. But basically, the words most often used referring to Swamiji were "like a child," meaning that he was simple in the classical, beautiful sense. Yeah, so that was Joan Suval, Dr. Mishra's student. Next, I will talk about another person who was connected to Dr. Mishra at Dr. Mishra's Ananda Ashram in upstate there. Srila Prabhupada, well, what happened was that this person is, for one thing, his name is Harvey Cohen. And he had gone to Dr. Mishra's retreat, you know, at that ashram. It was a retreat weekend in Ananda Ashram. And so it was like he had a room there. And so Harvey Cohen was, he was staying in his room by himself. And I guess the door was open and Srila Prabhupada walked by and saw him in there and initiated a conversation. You know, that's another thing that I saw repeatedly throughout this chapter is that Srila Prabhupada would extend himself to complete strangers, you know, all the time. He would just, you know, start a conversation, you know. He wouldn't allow the fact that they were complete strangers to throw him off. You see, there was an interaction here between this Harvey Cohen and Srila Prabhupada that I wanted to read. So yeah, so like I said, Srila Prabhupada had seen where he was walking and saw Harvey Cohen through the open door to his room. And so Harvey Cohen is talking here. He's saying, "Suddenly, I sensed someone standing in the doorway. Looking up, I saw it was the Swami. He was wrapped in his pink blanket like a shawl." And Srila Prabhupada said, can I come in? And Harvey Kuen nodded. And she Prabhupada said, can I sit in the chair in the corner? And Prabhupada asked him, what are you reading? And he said, the Kafka Diaries. And anyway. And then Prabhupada asked them, he asked what I was doing at the ashram and if I was interested in yoga, what kind of yoga are you studying? And Harvey said, I don't know much about it, but I think I'd like to study Hatha Yoga. Srila Prabhupada was not impressed. Prabhupada said, there are better things than this. There are higher, more direct forms of yoga. Bhakti yoga is the highest. It is the science of devotion to God. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada simply took interest in anybody who crossed his path, you know. And then the conversation went on, and Harvey Kuen said, as he spoke, I got the overpowering realization that he was right. He was right about this bhakti yoga and that there are higher, more direct forms of yoga. Somehow or other, just by Srila Prabhupada speaking, he got this conviction in his heart, you know, that Prabhupada was speaking the truth, you know, even though he didn't know anything, you know. He said he was speaking the truth. Then he said, a creepy, ecstatic sensation came over me that this man was my teacher. His words were so simple. And I kept looking at him all weekend. Because remember, he's at a retreat weekend there at the ashram. He said, Srila Prabhupada would sit so calm and dignified with warmth. And he asked me to visit him when he got back to the city. See, that's another thing that it just sounds so simple, you know, but I mean, I was just touched by the fact that, you know, Srila Prabhupada would ask a perfect stranger to visit him when he, you know, when Srila Prabhupada would return to the city. It just shows how open he was with people, you know. Then there was a person named, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I think he might have been Muslim, actually. Daoud Haroon. If anybody knows a better way to pronounce that, then please unmute. But he met this person named Daoud Haroon at a place where Prabhupada was supposed to be giving a lecture, and which was being hosted by the Tagore Society of New York. So I just wanted to describe a little bit of Daoud Haroon's first encounter with Srila Prabhupada. You know, this, let me just call him Mr. Haroon, because I think there's no ambiguity about how to pronounce that name. And so Mr. Haroon had come to hear the speaker. Maybe he knew the name of the speaker, but, you know, he didn't know what he looked like. And so the place, I think, was pretty empty. There were some people sitting in the back, you know, of the auditorium. But Mr. Haroon was a person who liked to sit up in front. And so he went directly there and he saw Srila Prabhupada sitting all by himself. And when Srila Prabhupada saw him, he kind of, you know, motioned to Mr. Hume to like sit next to him. So, you know, he was like inviting, you know, and they're, you know, perfect strangers. Srila Prabhupada, you know, didn't have to do that, you know, with a perfect stranger. But that's how open he was, you know, he just invited him to sit next to him. And so, and it's not like he even started engaging him in conversation, by the way. He was just, you know, being friendly, you know, by inviting him to sit with him. And so he didn't even speak to him really, like right away. You know, he would be chanting in his bead bag, and he would look away, and then he would look at Mr. Haroon, he would look away and look at Mr. Haroon. He was like back and forth like that. But then, you know, he would then engage him in some pleasantries, you know, like, you know, are you Indian, or, you know, you would just find out, you know, asking some personal questions about him, you know, being sociable, like, you know. And then the woman who was going to introduce Srila Prabhupada got up on the stage to introduce the speaker. And this Mr. Haroon, he was so shocked to discover that the person who had been behaving in such a friendly manner with him was actually the guest speaker, you know? Srila Prabhupada was so unassuming, you know, that he was so surprised that the guest, you know, the guest, he had no airs of self-importance, you know? No, he was just, he behaved with Mr. Haroon like he was just another member of the audience, you know? Yeah, and another thing that Mr. Haroon mentioned that illustrates how humble Srila Prabhupada was that he was describing the talk that Srila Prabhupada gave at that particular time. And the talk was all about promoting God, you know, all about God's greatness, you know, how important it is to remember God, you know, God is everywhere, you know, doesn't matter what your religion is, just call out the name that you use in your religion. You know, the important thing is that you call on God, not so much which name. The important thing is that you call on God. And he, you know, he also chanted the Maha Mantra, doing the thing. So my point is that it was all about promoting God. And even though he had his Bhagavatam books there for sale, He only mentioned those books when he was leaving the podium. It was practically just incidental to his talk, you know. He didn't carve out any time to promote those books. He just barely mentioned them as he was leaving the stage, you know. And so it was all about God promotion, not self promotion. So this is who Srila Prabhupada is. Yeah. So anyway, so you know, that was the main focus, you know, for me in this chapter. You know, Srila Prabhupada's very endearing, warm, caring nature. You know, so I really wanted to highlight that. But, you know, aside from that main point, there were some other aspects of Prabhupada that are, you know, just as important. You know, one common thread throughout all of Srila Prabhupada's interactions was that no matter who he was speaking with, each one of them noted that he was always praying on his beads when he was speaking with them, you know? And in between the pauses in the conversation, you know, there was never a time when he was just like silent. If he wasn't talking to the person, he was praying on his beads, you know? So he walked his talk when he said that we should be chanting 24/7, because he certainly illustrated that, because all the people that have been mentioned in these last two chapters, you know, the Butler chapter and this New York chapter, you know, each one of them mentioned the same thing, that he would always be chanting on his beads while he was talking to them. I mean, you know, not at the same time he was talking to them, but, you know, whenever there was any kind of pause, you know. So that's one thing that I, you know, noted, that he chanted 24/7. And another thing that I noticed was his one-track mind, you know. He, you know, just like some people, you know, they have a one-track mind for making money. They just, you know, they're very sensitive to opportunities for making money. They're all about that, you know. And Srila Prabhupada had one-track mind, but his one-track was about how to spread Krishna consciousness in the United States. You know, he was very sensitive to opportunities for that, and you know, strategizing about how to do that. You know, he was like a military strategist, you know, and anybody he encountered, he tried to see how they could be used as a tool in spreading this Krishna consciousness, because this was always at the forefront of his consciousness. You know, when it came to when he would write letters to Srimati Maharaji, who, you know, the person who sponsored his trip here, who helped him publish his Bhagavatam books. You know, he would always write her, you know. In the beginning, you know, you can see how he was grooming her to sponsor the spread of Krishna consciousness here. At first, you know, it was like a little casual, you know, like giving her hints about how it would be nice, you know, for the Krishna consciousness to spread here. But then with each letter that he would send her, he would become more and more direct, you know. You know, in the middle there, he was like even appealing to maybe her ego or something, saying, you know, you would be known not only for, you know, being this wealthy industrial magnate, but you would also, you know, be known for, you know, spreading Krishna consciousness and having, you know, big temple or stuff like that. But then when he got like, when he took off all the gloves, he was like, you know, it's the duty. It's the duty of every devotee to try and help spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So yeah, so he would try to, you know, employ Sumati Muraji. He would, you know, he would distribute prasadam wherever he went, whether it was at the Agarwals or Dr. Mishra's ashrams or at his yoga studio. He would try to get his self-interested god brothers to come on board, you know. Of course they wouldn't, because they each of them, they wanted to, you know, it was like a competition. They had a competitive mentality, you know. It seemed like the implication seems to have been that each one of them was trying to create a name for himself. So naturally they wouldn't want to try to help somebody else like Srila Prabhupada make a name for himself, which was not Srila Prabhupada's mood. You know, he just couldn't understand, you know, we are all devotees of Krishna, so why wouldn't we all band together to try and promote Krishna? You know, he even tried to engage Dr. Mishra, the Mayavadi. You know, it was cute how he tried to, you know, reel him in. He said, look, you have the same last name as Lord Chaitanya's father, Jagannath Mishra. So for that reason alone, you should try to help in this movement, you know. I mean, Dr. Mishra declined, but it said in the chapter that he later regretted that decision. That Mr. Haroon, who Srila Prabhupada surprised, you know, he had gone to see Srila Prabhupada give lecture, and he was surprised that the person who he was talking to, that was Srila Prabhupada, he engaged that person in the service of helping him sell the books after the talk, you know, perfect stranger, you know, and people were buying the books, thought that he must be Srila Prabhupada's secretary. They had no idea that Srila Prabhupada just met him, you know, at that same, just like everybody else. yeah, or I wanted to read this other thing here where that really shows how much, you know, he was interested in or attached to spreading this movement. he says that he said, just to see the mode of reception, he attended the performance of a Madrasi dancer, Bala Saraswati. He said, I went to see the dance with a friend, although for the last 40 years, I have never attended such dance ceremonies. The dancer was successful in her demonstration. The music was an Indian classical tune, mostly in Sanskrit language, and the American public appreciated them. So I was encouraged to see the favorable circumstances about my future preaching work. So he even, you know, went to the extent of going to see a dance ceremony, something that he hadn't done for 40 years, just to see what inroads that he could make in doing this greatest welfare work for people. Another theme that, you know, besides the warmth that Srila Prabhupada exuded, another theme that I saw threaded throughout this chapter was his aloneness. Now we all know that Srila Prabhupada was never alone. Because he always traveled with his spiritual master and Krishna. But physically, to mundane vision, he seemed to be alone all the time. And it was this aloneness was something that came up repeatedly throughout this chapter and in the last chapter. That chairman of the philosophy department in that Slippery Rock College, when he had gone to pick up Srila Prabhupada, he was struck by how alone Srila Prabhupada looked. Yeah. And whenever various people would go and see him at speaking engagements, like he was always like alone by himself, to himself. Various people said the same thing. He would walk New York streets alone, just either walking aimlessly or walking, like when he had to go grocery shopping, but the fact that he was alone was highlighted there. In the big, the big blackout of 1965, when the whole town went dark, he was all by himself. I mean, he wasn't fazed. He was just surprised that even in America these things happened, because he was accustomed to them happening in India. But, like 2 hours later, when somebody came to give him a candle and some fruits, they were worried about him, but he was like not fazed. But, especially during that time, being alone seems to be more pronounced. He even described himself as being alone, Let me see. He said, I am here. I think he was in a letter to Nikhilananda of the Ramakrishna Mission. He said, I am here and see a good field for work, but I am alone without men and money. So not only do other people see him as alone, but at least externally, he saw himself alone also. And so this aloneness of Srila Prabhupada was striking to me, because it was in such sharp contrast to the Srila Prabhupada of the latter years of this movement, where, he was always in the middle of an entourage, And I was thinking, if we had seen Srila Prabhupada back then, when he was always alone and so unassuming, nobody would have looked at him and thought that he would be the founder or acharya of a global movement that we know it to be today. In observing this contrast, I said, the moral of that story is that we better treat everybody right, because we don't know who we're looking at, Because if we were looking at Srila Prabhupada at the time, we would not have seen a Shaktiavesh avatar, He was in like faded robes, some plastic white bath shoes, looking pretty darn poor, You don't connect that with like a worldwide acharya with all the, attributes that we know ISKCON to have today. So, like I said, you look at people and you really don't know who they are. because we would not have known who Srila Prabhupada was walking the streets all by himself back then. Yeah, so anyway, so that was, you know, something else that was very striking to me. And yeah, I'll just end on this note. I know I realize I'm 5 minutes over time already, but I just thought it was, you know, maybe I don't know if I'm making too much out of this, but I thought it was like really interesting that, you know, in this chapter, Srila Prabhupada saw, he felt that he only had a limited time to get this movement off the ground. His deadline was November. Let me see, November 17th. Yeah, he expected, as he said himself, he expected his American mission to end November 17th, you know? And, you know, American mission for me is like symbolic of Western preaching, you know? This American mission for me is like Western preaching, or, you know, the distribution of or proliferation of Lord Chaitanya's mission. And he said that he expected that mission to end November 17th. So I just found it interesting that when he actually left this world physically, that the date was so close to that, you know? The date was November 14th, you know? I mean, yes, there was a 12-year difference, but I feel like it was like prophetic, or like a foreshadowing that this is a quote actually he said, where he said that he expected his American mission to end November 17th. Yet he wound up his physical pastimes on this earth on November 14th. So anyway, I just thought that was like a little interesting. So, that's what I have today. I actually even have some questions from my own class. But, you know, if anybody else wants to say something, you know, now's the time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Such an interesting presentation. Thank you so much. I think the chapter was so beautiful and you did complete justice to it. So thank you so much, Mataji. It was such a pleasure to hear from you and also see you, your expression and your involvement while speaking to Prabhupada Katha. It was really, really sweet. Yeah, thank you. A few points from your talk that strikes to me were how Prabhupada was good at remembering names, and you did make a point that it is important to remember people's names, and you develop a connection and you make them feel that, you know, yeah, they are noted. So it's a nice thing. I mean, it's a very good quality that you were talking about. It's very nice to remember names. And then the other point you were talking about Prabhupada is how Prabhupada was actually, though he appeared serious, he was actually very humorous. And he had this childlike warmth in him, which everyone could connect to, even people he was seeing for the first time. And
Actually, you talked about his being humorous. I wanted to mention, I mean, it's, you know, when you read Srila Prabhupada's purports, you know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada has me cracking up, you know, with the stuff that he says sometimes, the way he says it, you know, he has like that dry humor, you know, and his purports can be so funny, you know, even in this chapter, when he talks about the ambitious Mayavadis, because, you know, they want to merge, right? Yeah, and they want to become God, really, you know. And yeah, that's pretty ambitious. Yes. anyway.
How nice. Yeah. And how he always walked the talk, and that is something that is hardly found these days. And Prabhupada always walked the talk, and how he was struggling alone, yes, without men and money. So those are two things that make us feel lonely, right? Men and money. So very nicely put. So I had a few questions.
Oh, no.
Questions for the famous Gaurangi Mataji.
So, listen, I can dish it out, but I can't take it. Okay.
So did anyone become his follower? I mean, you did talk about two prominent people who admired him, the Muslim person.
Hey, that was my question. Remember I said at the end of the class, I said I had a question about my own class. That was it. I was going to ask if anybody knows if Harvey Cohen, especially Harvey Cohen.
Yeah, what happened?
Do you know who you don't know? Harvey Cohen, Joan Suval, and this Daoud Haroon. These are the people I was wondering. You know, I peeked a little bit ahead and I saw, I think Harvey Cohen, he ends up following him, you know.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and I think he had a Brahmin thread. I don't know how come he had a Brahmin thread, but you know, Srila Prabhupada and he was, I saw in the next chapter or something, I forget where, but you know, it didn't end there. You know, it didn't end at that Ananda ashram where they first met, you know. So I was really wondering, since they felt so strongly about Srila Prabhupada, I was wondering if they ended up getting initiated, you know.
That's what anyone asked
me. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, nice. I mean, that would be so nice if that person got initiated.
I know, right? Yeah.
So, again, another question to you, Mataji. You mentioned so many qualities of Srila Prabhupada in this chapter. So, was there one quality that really was like your favorite and you still connect with Prabhupada on that quality?
Yeah, I mean, I really... You know, the one I tried to focus on was his personalism, you know.
Right.
He treated, and I when I see this in other people too, I'm thinking about one Maharaj in particular, you know, because for me it's like very prominent in him. You know, I really appreciate it so much when you deal with another person like they really matter.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it. You know, like, you know, they're not just another person, you know? They are, you know, like I was saying in the class, you know, or the talk, we don't see ourselves as just another face in the crowd. We matter a lot to ourselves, you know? And so when somebody else gives you that same kind of acknowledgement, recognition, whatever, not that we're looking, not in a self-centered way, you know, but you know, when you treat every person like every heart matters, you know. I just that's a winning quality for me.
Wonderful. You
know? Yeah. And that was Srila Prabhupada, you know, that was Srila Prabhupada in this chapter I saw. Mm. You know, he would extend himself to complete strangers. You know, look at this what was his name? Daoud Haroon. Mm. You know. He just, you know, the way he extended himself, complete stranger. You know, even, what was his name, Harvey Cohen, you know, engaged him. You know, he was, you know, Harvey was minding his own business. Srila Prabhupada could have just easily passed him by. But, you know, he took the time to give Harvey his association and try to, you know, whoever he would meet, he would try to uplift somehow or other, somehow or other, you know. So that was very special. And he was just so much warmth, you know, just so much warmth.
Wow. Thank you, Mataji, for that. My other question was, when we saw your introduction that you came to ISKCON in 1996, just was curious, what is it that is keeping you so enthused to this day in ISKCON? I mean, what is that one thing that has attracted you so much that you stay enthused every minute, like as if you're a brand new devotee?
As if what?
You're a brand new devotee who has just figured out. I mean, you see enthused every day, so.
Well, as far as class is concerned, you know, I mean, you know, everybody, Krishna has his bait to reel in everybody, right? So I'm a philosophy kid. He reeled me in with the philosophy. You know, I always find it funny when people say, oh, when Bhagavatam class starts, that's when people, you know, fall asleep. You know, and people, the lecturers, they need to use stories to keep people engaged. But for me, I'm exact opposite. I'm exact opposite because I'm like everybody has their. I'm mentally challenged when it comes to stories because I can't keep names and people straight. You know, it's like very random for me. You know. It's like, you know, well, why couldn't that person be named this? And that person, you know, it's not a logical thing for me that. So because of my challenge with keeping the names and things straight, you know, I'm opposite. I cannot follow stories. I cannot follow stories. So I'll ask you a million times what happened. but philosophy, that's when I wake up. I wake up with philosophy. That's my hook, you know? And but I have to say, though, that a probably almost equal draw for me are my favorite deities, you know. Mm-hmm. These two, the darshans of my favorite deities, especially if they're dressed, you know, in the way that I like, you know. Forget about whether Krishna likes it, but if I like it. So, yeah, but yeah. Philosophy. And my deities, not any old deities, my deities, those are my hooks, you know. And of course, who can give up, you know, affectionate devotees, you know? So I would have to say these are my top three. These are my top three things.
Oh, amazing. And thank you so much for making the connection between November 14th and November 17th. Oh, that was beautiful. So that just, you know, just showed how much deeply you thought about it. So thank you.
Oh, I'm glad that you're validating me because I said, I don't know if I should, I didn't know if this was like too far of a reach, you know, but it just struck me. I thought it was like an amazing coincidence kind of thing. So, but I didn't know if I was being, you know, over the top of that.
Oh my God, it's such a pleasure to have you on this call, Mataji. I can't tell it in words, but thank you so much. And I'll open up the forum for the rest of them. So everyone, please, this is your opportunity. Please go ahead.
No questions, though, please.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, such a beautiful friend. And some points which drove home, like how Srila Prabhupada remembered the names of people.
Yeah, who's speaking? Because, you know, I'm, besides being challenged in stories, I'm technologically challenged too.
This is Sukhandari Devi.
Oh, hi Krishna, Mata.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, such is your camera on? I'm flipping through this thing. I don't know if your camera's on or not.
No, Mataji, sorry, I'm not on camera today.
Oh no, that's okay. That's okay. I just didn't want to miss you if you were.
Yeah. Yes, Mataji. So the point which you told that how Srila Prabhupada remembers names. Actually, it reminded me of my Guru Maharaj also. Like once a devotee was a devotee was telling him that Maharaj, it is that devotee who helped with the seva, and he was like, devotee. The devotee has a name, right? What is the name? Like that, you know, like he is so personal all the time.
Yes.
So it reminded me of my Guru Maharaj too. And thank you for bringing in those memories, Mataji. And in many ways, I think I'm also like you. I get zoned off with katha. You know, I couldn't remember what happened when. But yeah, philosophy hooks me on too. And I think maybe that's why we strike off a conversation many times after.
Yes. And, yeah, and I know I am so delinquent in responding to the last reference. I said she'll probably never give me any more references because I don't reply on time, but it's only because of, I have just such time management challenges, you know. But so don't, I hope you don't take that long.
Oh no, Mataji, no, I do understand. It's just that when I share with you, I tend to read, and that's the only motivation. I mean, maybe I'm very selfish in that sense.
No, so, no, but continue being selfish, please. But I really enjoy it. I really enjoy your stuff. Just don't get discouraged by my very delayed responses.
No, Mataji, thank you so much. And it's like, I mean, amazing to know that you are into Krishna consciousness, you know, since 96. Wow, that's such a long time, Mataji.
Well, it's also very embarrassing, you know, because, you know.
No, Mataji, not at all.
I actually didn't want to put that, but, you know, Vanita, she said that I need to, she asked me to put it, so I did, but I didn't want to put it. I wanted to say, oh, I'm just now coming. So that, you know, that would explain a lot of things, you know. But if you say to somebody, oh, you've been here, then it's like, what's your problem already? You know, anyway, what to do?
We all have our journeys, and it's, Mataji, please give your association more often.
No, I cannot. It's too stressful. I told Srila Prabhupada, I said, Prabhupada, Only for you.
Very nice, Mataji. Whenever you can, please give us your association. I mean, even otherwise by messaging or whatever, it's comfortable with you, Mataji.
Mm-hmm.
And so nice to hear you today, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Sutsagri, for coming on. Thank you very much. So nice to hear you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharajas. This is Anuradha, Mataji.
I know your voice.
Are you on?
No, I mean, up to your comfort level. It's just that, you know, if you're on, I don't want to miss you.
I'm on for you.
Okay, let me see.
You did it for Srila Prabhupada, so I'm doing it for you.
Let me see. I told you. Oh, okay, there you are.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a wonderful class. Wanted to ask you a question, but it was so. I just amazed the way you gave the class. It was so natural. Even if you're saying you're so stressed, but the class was so natural. It was just flowing, and you know, to share the love of other, we should also have the love for them. Then only we can share how much love they have. And I could feel that love in you, Mataji. Like, I'm so grateful that you took up this particular chapter. I mean, any chapter would have been wonderful, but still, and you so wonderfully narrated the love that, and all I could hear is like Srila Prabhupada memories. All I can hear is compassion, and like that, the love that he has, and you so wonderfully depicted it through your entire class. So grateful, wanted to say so many things, but I don't remember, or, you know, I'm just so much swayed by the beauty of your class and the beautiful words of yours. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Oh my God. And I'm so grateful that you didn't ask me a question.
My question was, Mr. Mishra, him being a yoga teacher, how can he become so, you know, thin and lean and weak or whatever he was? And how could he attract more followers? He had many followers. whom Prabhupada, he didn't want Prabhupada to preach to, right? So how could mm-hmm. he have, when he was so pale looking or whatever, how could he attract more followers? And they should have fallen for Srila Prabhupada than a yoga teacher. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, well, you know, the only thing that comes to my mind is that Srila Prabhupada saw that, you know, the Americans were very easily cheated. You know, he saw that. He saw that, you know, in fact, that was what gave him encouragement. He said, look, these people are willing to spend so much money for this hobby. He called it hobby, you know, this, all these yoga things. He said, if they are willing to spend so much of their money on these cheaters, you know, that word cheaters is not in there, but basically that's what he meant. Then he said, you know, then they will be very much, you know, receptive to what I have to give them, you know, because I mean, it's true. If you're a thinking person, right, it just shows, you know, how vulnerable the Americans were to being cheated, because, you know, a person should think, why am I going to a medical doctor who looks like he's dying to learn how to, you know, transcend this world, you know? If he cannot even seem to help himself and he has all these credentials, you know, then why am I going to him, you know? They should actually have asked that question. But like I said, you know, Srila Prabhupada felt that, you know, people were very, like, kind of gullible in this country, you know, which gave him hope, actually, for his own mission, you know.
Wonderful answer.
Other than that, I cannot explain it myself.
No, that was the answer, Mataji. I feel the entire world has become vulnerable now, not just America, including India. So, yeah, so we have a better opportunity to preach, as you were saying, the glories of preaching. And thank you so much once again, and, you know, Dandavat Pranam Mataji. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the love, Anuradha. Thank you so much. That was so, so sweet.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Guess who?
Wait. Is it Vinita? No. Wait. No, talk some more. I don't want to. Talk some more and I will guess.
Do you see my...
Is this Janaki?
Hare Krishna, do you see me?
Not yet. Wait a minute. I told you I'm technologically challenged. You know I'm technologically challenged. I don't even have to tell you. Look at you. Oh, my God.
No idea. Wait, that you...
What?
I had no idea you were taking this class, okay?
Yeah, because I deliberately kept it from you. I didn't want anybody to know.
Mataji, she is an amazing... beautiful soul. I cannot express in words. She is just an angel who
okay,
I need.
Get off the call. Get off.
And so she's Srila Prabhupada's favorite daughter, and she's everybody's favorite.
Get off the call, Janaki.
We have heard that a lot from Bhakti folks, so we believe every word you say, Janaki Mataji.
What she has to offer to ISKCON and to us, all of us, is just amazing. Just amazing. She has been my mother, my friend, my best friend. She's my savior. She's my soul.
Hey, I'm not old enough to be your mother, okay?
You know I'm going to get adopted.
I told you already you're adopted. I told you that a long time ago. You're adopted.
So, Srila Prabhupada's personal level, I said that in Gale, she's the spokesperson for me, for ISKCON, for Prabhupada, for Krishna himself. And so she's such a realized person. She never even realizes that. She's so...
That's how much realization I have, that I'm so realized that I don't even realize it myself. You just made my point. Thank you.
Yeah, I... You and thank you so much. Thank you so much for being you.
Aww. Thank you, Janaki.
I'm going to hear the class again and give you my
No.
I don't want to miss this. She's, you're such a gem. You're such a sweetheart. Thank you for being you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Hi.
Hare Krishna Mataji, my most humble obeisances at the catastrophe.
Oh my God. Kirtida Sundari?
Yes.
Is that you again?
This is Kirtida Sundari. You can see me. I hope you can see me.
Wait, I'm looking. Wait a minute. Okay. I see your name on. Okay, now I can see your face. I still can't believe all these years. I can't believe all these years you didn't know it was me.
No, I didn't know all these years that this was you. And you know, just now my Prabhu came, my son, you can see my son behind. Do you remember him?
It's been a very long time.
Oh, you get old. Sarangi Mataji.
Unbelievable.
And he was so young at that time. Now he's a big man.
Yeah. I know. I would pass him on the street now. Yeah, but I just, boy, this has been a special day that you and I have been able to connect all this time. Mataji, I can't believe that you didn't know it was me. I can't believe.
Because you never turn on your video.
I remember one time Fineshri Mataji, she was demanding. And even though I was not at all prepared, I said, oh my God, she was demanding so much. I felt like if I didn't turn on my video, I would be struck by lightning, you know? So I turned it on that day because she was giving class and she was demanding. But, and there'd be a couple of other times too, you know?
Every time I missed it. Today was the first time and it was so shocking. And now I'm thinking, oh my God, to such a realized person yesterday on the call, day before yesterday, I was talking about how to bring your realizations and, you know, how the realizations come. It was just showing a lamp to sun. You know, I'm so sorry, Mataji, for
that. Are you kidding? Oh my God. You must be talking about somebody else. But anyway, this is a glorious day that you now know that it's me. I'm just so happy that you now know that it's me.
I'm so happy too. You are so self-realized person, I should say. That sthita pragya, you know, what Bhagavad Gita talks about is you, Mataji. You are so wonderful. And I could feel your attention during the classes, during Bhagavatam classes, especially during Sri Vrindavan Prabhu's classes. Oh my God, it was... it's amazing, Mataji.
Especially during whose class?
Sri Vrindavan Prabhu's class, whenever he used to give in tobacco. You know, And of course, for today's class, it's awesome. And as you said, that we should all share some point that we like in the class. So I would like to share one of the quality of Srila Prabhupada that you shared. And I could feel that quality, you know, in so many, especially in my Gurudev, that, you know, Prabhupada was, of course, personal, but he was so strong in the heart, but he was so soft. He was strong onto the face, but he was so soft, lotus-like, you know, heart he has. From his heart, because he was so compassionate, but on outward he was very, very strong, pakka, and, you know, putting on to all those rules, regulations. So yes,
I really needed this chapter to soften up my image of Srila Prabhupada. My heart really needed this softening, you know, this treatment that this chapter gave, you know, to Srila Prabhupada, you know, because, you know, I needed to see that in him, you know, that for me in dealing with people, this compassionate, if that quality is not there or is not prominent, you know, I'm just not attracted. I'm just not attracted. You know, you know, philosophy alone, who will that attract? You know, we often hear, you know, yes, we all know the right thing to do, but it's when there's somebody who cares about you that is encouraging you to do that right thing. That is when you get motivated. Nobody gets motivated to do the right thing just because it's the right thing. You know, you're motivated to do the right thing because there's somebody who you feel cares about you that is encouraging you to do that. That's the actual potency, you know, not, oh yeah, this is the right thing, so therefore let me do, you know? So that's why I needed to get this soft side of Srila Prabhupada. You know, and I feel like Shuta Kirti Prabhu, you know, he wrote What's the Difficulty? That book, I mean, I read it a long time ago, but that book was like a treasure for me because of so many, you know, endearing things that were in there about, you know, the soft side came out so much in that book, you know? So I just need that. I just need that, so.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. I don't Thank have an asset. I don't want you to put you on spot.
Thank you.
Mother for all of us. But the only request I have is to please give your association more often. Please, it's my request.
Yes, during question and answer time at every lecture, I will
talk. Whatever, that I leave up to you.
You know, sorry, Mataji, but that doesn't discount you from not asking questions.
I'm really overwhelmed seeing her because I remember those past days, her warmth, her hug. You know, I still could feel. So I don't.
You know, we would meet at so many different, you know, temple program, home program too. You know,
so many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for your association, and please accept my humble obeisances once again.
Please accept my double obeisances.
My triple obeisances.
You don't know.
Plus one.
Infinite.
Plus one. Mine is always plus one. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Uh-oh. The bad guy. The one who started it all.
Hare Krishna.
I shouldn't even talk to you, Vinita. I shouldn't even be talking to you. You got me in.
No, Mataji, I will be calling you all the time. Don't worry.
I will block. I'm blocking your number after today. I'm blocking. No.
Okay, Mataji, I have ways to call you if you block my number also. No problem. And I'm so grateful to you, Mataji. Thank you so much for accepting the request. I'm so happy that, you know, I could hear from you. Because during Krishna Katha Mela also, we brought all the coordinators and the regular attendees of the call, but we couldn't get you. But this time, because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, you know, we could get it. Thank you, Mataji. And very beautiful class, the way you were explaining about Srila Prabhupada's qualities and the chapter in detail, how he was interacting with the different devotees. It was so nice. And I also really like the point that how we have to be so personal with a devotee when you are dealing with them. So that way they get more connection to us, and then they will be more involved in Krishna consciousness. That I really like. And then, and also when you said that how you are so many years, how you are so much enthusiastic because you love the philosophy and you love the deities more. That is so nice, Mataji. So the more we learn, the more we become fixed in Krishna consciousness, it gives more enthusiasm. Thank you, Mataji. I will try to read more books and learn more and be enthusiastic like you for years and years until I stay here in this material world. Thank you, Mataji.
You know, I'm going to tell you a little secret, but you know, about this Srila Prabhupada and his names thing, right? Remembering names. You know, in my pocketbook, I carry a little cheat sheet. I call it a cheat sheet, you know? So I put down, if I feel like I might not remember a person's name, right? I have a little black book. And and I write down the person's name and I say where I put down where I met them. So I have like a point of reference, you know, and so that, and if I see them, you know, and if I have time and I don't remember their name, I can sneak into my pocketbook and say, and then when I speak to them, I can call them by name as if to say, I remember all the time. Yeah, so that's my little like open secret now.
Thank you Madhati, for saying that. Even I have a very hard time to remember the names, but thank you to Bhakti Sangha on this point. We always every day greet the devotees, we call out their names so that we remember their names. Like I welcome the devotee right on the call, so we remember before in the Zoom, before even Zoom started, like when we did in free conference call, so many people used to not join with their names. Only after Bhakti Sangha, I could even know their name just by voice. You know, if somebody speaks, okay, I can recognize, okay, this is Gaurangi Mataji. Okay, this is Mataji speaking. This is this Prabhuji speaking. Without even, but before, you know, I never remember names. It is very difficult. Thank you to Bhakti Sangha making me practice of remembering devotees. So that way we are so connected to devotee.
Yeah, more personal. Really nice. You know, we're all, each one of us, equally valuable to Krishna, so we should be equally valuable to each other also, you know. Who are we to value each other less than Krishna, you know, right?
And I also like the point that you said, like you give equal respect to everyone, because who we don't know, right? Like who is going to turn out to be a great devotee.
We would have passed Srila Prabhupada on the street as somebody very insignificant, you know, by his personal appearance, you know. We would never have, you know, unless we were given some kind of special mercy from Krishna to say this is who this is. But just by physical appearance, we would have never given him any kind of respect by a physical appearance, you know? And so there's so many people out on the street, right, who don't seem to be very worthy of our, you know, respect or something. You know, they just seem like so ordinary, you know? But we don't know who those people are, you know? And even if they're not on the path of Krishna consciousness, we don't know. Maybe they're on the verge. Maybe, you know, from past life, you know, they have so much that is just unmanifest, you know. We have no idea. So we cannot, we're not in a position to minimize any soul. And that's what I love so much about this one particular Maharaj that I have in mind. He handles each and every person like he knows something that the rest of us don't about that person. To us, they just seem so, you know, ordinary. But he gives, you know, full attention to whatever that person is saying, you know, in the class, you know, like during question and answer or something. I really admired that so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for that. Yeah. Very grateful to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. And actually, Vinita, I have to say that although I've complained so bitterly about you roping me into this, I at the same time, I'm so grateful that you have given me the chance to do a little bit of reciprocation with Srila Prabhupada, you know, in this way. You know, I am actually very grateful. That's not to encourage you to call me again, but I am very grateful that you did give me this opportunity, because, you know, I'm very remiss in reciprocating with Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. I'm so happy you felt this kind of realization when you read the chapter. You said that you cannot speak more than 30 minutes. You speak so much, and it was so nice. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, respected Ajji, Gaurangi Mataji, Koti Koti Dhanwad, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Mataji, today we see that how sincerely Mataji, your realization that tears come from the eyes, Mataji, that how much love and respect you have for Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada, Srishi Nityananda and Srishi Gauranga. I will take 2.5 minutes. Whatever you teach us, I just write down and I repeat again with your permission, Mataji.
Mataji, we can only learn from hearing from you because, I don't know, I've never met anybody like you. I don't even know what you're doing in this world with a heart like yours. My goodness, it's just like whatever you have, I wish would rub off on me. That's all I know because.
It's her birthday, Mataji.
Huh?
Her birthday today.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, happy, happy birthday. I mean, it's definitely an appearance day. It's not a birthday. It's definitely an appearance day because, like I said, you know, you have come here, I think, to try and bring us all back up there, you know, because, you know, your the heart that you have is felt by everybody else's heart. You know, you're just a heart walking, you know, and I just see you as what I wish I can be when I grow up. You know, I aspire to have your heart and your appreciation for the devotees. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you're here, but you're not here. That's all I think.
Mataji, today you explained Koti Koti Dhanwad Pranam to Ajji Gaurangi Mataji. Today you explained from Srila Prabhupada Amruta so deep devotionally and specially not reading, but the realization is touch to heart that Dr. Mishra is 44 years old and they are going for Hatha Yoga. At that time, Srila Prabhupada is not interested. So Prabhupada explained about the Bhakti Yoga in his so sincerely, and anybody overpower Bhakti Yoga and Srila Prabhupada speaking in his heart to speaking that this man was my teacher. So you explained so nicely about the Srila Prabhupada. He's a perfect stranger for him, but still he feels the Srila Prabhupada feelings. And second, you explained Daud Harun. He's the person at place giving a lecture, and then you explain about the Tagore Society of the New York, and Dr. Harun is sitting in a front, and just like he invited by Srila Prabhupada. He goes just being friendly, and he just explaining about the personal question about him, and then you explain about the woman. Introduced Srila Prabhupada, please forgive me, that woman introduced Srila Prabhupada and friendly manner with him. Srila Prabhupada surprised that he have Mr. Harun like another member of the audience. He described talk to God. Srila Prabhupada explained about the talk God remember, and God is everyone in and he chanted whenever he get the time between the two person conversation, he chanted his Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then he explained about that Madrasi dancer, her name is Balo Saraswati. She danced so nicely and classical music, and nobody's understand the Sanskrit that time, but still they are attending that dance so attentively. All Americans are attending that dance so attentively. So Srila Prabhupada think that sure these all American will accept Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada think that time that all these American will sure accept Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Guru Deva. Other other aspect, Srila Prabhupada, then you explain no matter who is, who this touch to heart that Srila Prabhupada meet each and every Vaishnava, and he think that who is that person, Prabhupada is no matter who is that person. But Srila Prabhupada give them a Krishna conscious and so humbly and pray for that soul that is touched to heart. Praying with the praying from the soul, praying for that soul. Srila Prabhupada talk each and every person. We should and this is also touched to heart that Srila Prabhupada said we should chant 24/7 and days on our. With whether it's meat bag is upon meat bags hamare haath mein hai ya nahi hai, but we should chant 24/7, then only whatever we speak it's effect to other Vaishnava. That thing we learn from you, Mataji. And making money, and then whenever any kind of pose making money, Srila Prabhupada is just thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness in the abroad. He's just set up that mind. That point is also touched to heart. Srimati Moraji sponsored the trip and published Shishi Bhagavatam also. Casual, more and more direct speaking Krishna conscious. Every duty, this is touched to heart, Mataji. Srila Prabhupada explained that every duty to pray, to try to spread Krishna consciousness, whatever that capacity, distribute prasadam. Srila Prabhupada distribute prasadam, Dr. Mishra's ashram, yoga studio, and everywhere. And this touch to heart, Mataji, that Dr. Mishra is Mayavadi, but Srila Prabhupada told that you are coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji's Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because your name is Mishra. So Jagannath Mishra's mercy you can get for that to the heart. Episode, still not understanding that I already explained, Mataji. Srila Prabhupada, then you explained Srila Prabhupada's loneliness. Whenever Srila Prabhupada is going for a street or for grocery or cooking at the age of 70, Mataji, cooking 30, 40 Vaishnava and they never seen a roti. So they eat 10, 15, 30 roti. And Srila Prabhupada is making roti and not only kitchen part, Mataji, cleaning part also Srila Prabhupada is doing and then
and roti without rolling pin, he rolled roti with by hand,
by hand. And then after that they slowly they come in a seva, and some is taking for wash, cleaning the vessels, and some is taking for a grocery. So Prabhupada engage each and every soul in the seva, but it's take time. So that 7-8 months Prabhupada is doing everything, puja and cooking parts and cleaning parts. And you explain about the chairman of the philosophy department to see the Srila Prabhupada and New York Street in 1965, big blackout, and that time 2 hours there is no light, and somebody will give a candle and fruits to Srila Prabhupada, and that Nityananda Ramakrishna Mission, I am alone with. Prabhupada explained that Ramakrishna Mission, I forgot that person name, that I am alone without man and money. He was alone. He was a founder of Acharya today. But that time, Srila Prabhupada is alone to show his Gurudev instruction, and Srimati Shishi Radharani and Lord Krishna. We should not judge any Vaishnava because we don't know. With situation like 84 likes, 84 million Sioni, we don't know that the level of that devotee. So we should not judge any Vaishnava. We should give a respect to each and every Vaishnava. We should not
non-Vaishnava.
And Satyadev, and you explained about the Satyadev Avatara, worldwide Acharya Eskon today. But he is so simple. He bring the grocery. He done each and everything for Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani's service, one man so at the age of 70, and November 17 expected, and then you explain Mataji, it's going on. I will give the chance to other Vaishnava. Anant Koti Danvas Pranam to your Seva Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Shishi Radha Gopinanda. Your realization is just too hard, not only me, but each and every Vaishnava, Mataji. Hari Hari Volga, Hari Hari Volga. Thank you, Mataji.
Your heart touches our heart, Vrinda Gopika. Your heart is amazing. And happy, happy, happy. I hope we have a very Krishna conscious, very heart fulfilling day today and every day, but especially today. May what you do for others is done for you today. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Gaurangi Mataji, such a beautiful class. I have no words. You know, I've always wondered who is this Mataji who's asking so intelligent questions. And you hear the lectures in such a way with so much attention that, even the minutest things you ask the speaker. And now here in the class, it's so wonderful, it's so nice, the way, I mean, with so much realization you glorified Srila Prabhupada, and I liked it how, he went to that dance program where he has not gone for 40 years, but he wanted to see how, what is the market for Krishna consciousness,
yes.
Right?
How yes, people yes. are mm-hmm.
taking up things, and I remembered Vaisheshika Prabhu saying that he fanned the spark.
Mm-hmm,
even
mm-hmm.
a spark that is there, if he thinks that people could take it, mm-hmm, he just fanned mm-hmm. it with so much of his very good qualities. And we are going to have you often as a speaker in Bhakti Sangha. That we have all unanimously decided now. I can't thank you enough for your very deep and realized spiritual journey, for giving us so much of your association and your questions. You know, we learn a lot from that. And you deepen our understanding on the philosophy as well. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for your such sweet, kind words, Mataji. Very nice. Thank you. I really appreciate.
Hare Krishna, Gaurangi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. What a wonderful class, Mataji. I have been waiting to hear your class for the last 2 or 3 years. 3 years. No video, Mataji.
No, I see. No. This is Indulekha, right? Indulekha?
Yes, Mataji. So we have been waiting for such a long time, and finally, like, Vinita Mataji was like, this time I am definitely going to make it a Srila Prabhupada glorification. Mataji cannot say no. So I'm so glad that you came and you spoke so beautifully. Mataji, I missed the question answers, a lot of it, but I heard the entire the way you presented it was so beautiful. I mean, so heart touching. Of course, Leelamrita is like that. That is how Srila Prabhupada's pastimes all are. You know, he's so personal in his dealings with each and every person. And that's why, you know, even for the next generation, we feel a personal connection with him. But thank you so much. While you were talking about his lonely experiences in New York, and where was this? This was in New York also, right?
Yeah, both in Butler, Pennsylvania, and in New York City. Both.
He was alone. Yeah, I was just remembering.
So alone. I mean, we know that he wasn't lonely. You know, we know that.
Yeah.
But he was his aloneness was very prominent. You know, and you know when you compare that to, you know, when the movement became successful,
mm-hmm.
it's like, wow, to think that what we have today started there with his walking the streets in a solitary way. Nobody knows his name, just alone. You know, you come, what a stark contrast, right?
Yes.
To think that where we are today started with that. It's like so mind-blowing to me. I don't know.
How did he even make it happen, right? So that's why you were saying Shakti Avesh Avatar, that, you know, we would never even realize.
Yeah, I mean, you don't look at him and think Shakti Avesh Avatar. And then, you know, and then he had to deal with so many, like, so many disasters, you know, and so many disappointments. Like, there was this one building that he was so excited about getting. You know, if only, you know, he would get support from the Gaudiya Math, you know, but nobody was backing. In the chapter, he had such detailed vision of this one particular building in Upper Manhattan there. You know, he saw in his mind what the basement could be used for. He saw what the first floor could be used for. He saw what the second floor could be used for. Detail. You know, he was so excited about this, but, you know, nothing came of it. And that's the thing about Srila Prabhupada. He would never get discouraged. And he described himself like that too. Oh, look at that. It's right here in front of me. He said, talking about the Gaudiya Math God brothers, you know, and they were not willing to help. So he said, it is not very encouraging. Still, I'm not a man to be disappointed. Look at that, you know? I mean, nobody could have survived the disappointments that he did and still pressed on. We would have taken it as, oh, this must be a sign from Krishna. I'm not supposed to do this.
Right, you know? We cannot move forward. Then we'd be like, okay, I'm done. Yeah, we give up so easily. And Srila Prabhupada, he's like,
yeah,
he's just gone through that.
Yeah, despite having put so much energy and to get disappointment after disappointment and discouragement after discouragement, I mean, who could continue? Who could continue? But as he said, he's not a man to be disappointed. That's a quote.
Yes. Very well. Such a beautiful class, Mataji. Please come and you have to be speaking more often, Mataji. Of course, we have to hear from you. Please do that. And I see that they are already planning to book you for Gaurapurnima. So excited.
No way. Listen, I've been from before, since this morning or yesterday, I was so looking forward to 12 o'clock.
But now you're here. I think it's so blissful to be there.
I was so looking forward for 12 o'clock. When will this 12 o'clock come so this stress can be off my head? So Gorpanim, nah. I will still be recovering from today. I will be recovering still. Mm-mm.
Well, thank you so much, Mataji. We are very blessed to
Hare
have you.
Krishna.
Thank you, Anilega Maharaj. I mean, Maharaj Mataji.
Yeah, I see. It's already passed well. So, yeah.
I'm getting intoxicated with all the praise. I'm getting intoxicated.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, boy.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Gaurangi Mataji, my dandavat pranams to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. So, Mataji, I think it's your analytical skills and your logical thinking and your, I think the analysis to the subject matter speaks a lot to what you have to say. And each and every situation, you kind of put yourself into that. Whatever Prabhupada has gone through, you kind of help us to get that perspective that, okay, how are we supposed to react in such a kind of situation, and how will we react to that? In fact, we would not do what Prabhupada did, but then you're helping us think. And I think through your questioning also, you help us think a lot. So this is like, I think, the maximum utilization or of buddhi. I think that is definitely seen the way you presented this to us, Mataji. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All glories to your service. And again, as Indu Mataji said, there's no doubt you're coming back again and you're going to give us the nectar and help us understand and realize more.
Yeah, actually, you know, I feel that Srila Prabhupada, and I once heard one Maharaj say this too, that, you know, when you see what Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada pressed on despite such discouraging experiences, the moral of the story is, you know, we don't get to give up. If he didn't give up with what he had to deal with, then, and you know, our challenges don't compare to what he went through, then we don't get to give up on Krishna consciousness. You know, that's the takeaway for me, you know.
Wonderful.
Because, you know, yeah, what we are going through, you know, I mean, it's according to scale, you know, we're going through challenges that is in proportion to who we are, you know, and Srila Prabhupada went through challenges that's in proportion to who he is. But the principle is the same, you know, that in Krishna consciousness, no giving up allowed.
Keep fighting.
No giving up allowed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Beautiful sari, Mataji, by the way.
Oh.
Love your pink.
Thank you, yeah.
Right from your earrings.
I think pink. Everything about me is pink. Normally not this soft though. Usually it's like fuchsia, like Vrindagopika's cheddar, you know? Mm-hmm. That's usually my pink, like my nails. But thank you.
Sarah. Of course, Mataji, of course. Your attention to detail, I think I admire you for a lot of things. I mean, sometimes you bring up questions which we wouldn't have even thought about, and I thank you for that. I mean, sincerely, I have to thank you. So you wouldn't, you know, give it up. Never. So that attitude.
I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice about that, Mataji.
No, the thing is, there are three, four benefits of doubts, Mataji. One is it's helping you. Second is it's helping all of us as devotees. Mm-hmm. And the third is when we delve more, I mean, you understand the topic more, and that samshaya is gone, because doubts are something that has to be raised off the mind, because to get a relationship with Krishna, that doubt needs to be cleared, and you're helping us get to perfection that way. And so I really want to...
I usually think that the devotees are ready to kill me for making the class run so long. I really, that's normally what's prominent in my mind. My God, these devotees, they want to get on with their day, but I'm prolonging this class, but I can't help it. I gotta get this answer. So.
Right. So you've definitely helped us that way, because it benefits all of us as devotees as well. Some people, they might be in an urgency to get off to office, work, so many things that they may have to do. But yeah, people like me who juggle between things, sometimes, you know, when you ask the questions, okay, this some questions I have never thought about it that way. So it, you know, rings a bell on me. Okay, this is perfect. Thank you, Mataji, for that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your encouragement. So heartwarming. Oh, thank you.
No, Mataji, you are there in almost every call, and we want to give, I mean, I've been loaded with a lot of work, but still I wanted to take my time off to just, you know, say, pay my humble obeisances to you, as well as thank you for what you do, because, again, I'm overwhelmed. Actually, this week has been such a busy week. I don't know where I'm getting this kind of time to come and talk to you, but it's all Krishna's mercy, Mataji. Hare
Krishna. Wow. Yes, I will take it as Krishna's direct intervention that you were able to give me so much today. Thank you so much.
So nice.
Thank you, Mataji. I know it's 2 hours now, so we to end the call, but if anyone else wants to quickly say a Hari Bol to Gaurangi Mataji, you're welcome to.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Hare Krishna, everybody.
Hari Bol.
I don't know who it is. I'm not saying, but thank you.
Hari Bol.
It's Janaki Mataji.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later, girl. Yeah.
So, yes, mommy.
Anyway, I want to say thank you so much to, I mean, I this this day will go down in history for all the love that I got from all of you today. I'm just shocked beyond belief that you all received, you know, this talk today the way you did. I'm shocked. This is definitely, you know, Krishna's intervention here, because no other way it would happen like this. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of you for all of your encouraging words and warmth. That's the theme for today, warmth and affection. Thank you.
Thank you again. And we are going to end this call now, but then I think Vinitri Mataji has a reminder for many of you to join back after this. Something interesting going on. So I'm going to close the call here and we will restart a different call. Thank you all so much. And Gaurangi Mataji.
Gopika Mataji is invited to rejoin again. Kindly, please.
Yeah, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, kindly rejoin, then I'll break it. I mean, like, we are going to have a call for Vrinda Gopika Mataji, wishing for her. So we have to end this call because this is on record. And we're going to hop on to another call on the same link. So please join us to wish Vrinda Gopika Mataji and talk to her. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Matajis. Hare Krishna.
Vancha kalpa taro bhyasya kripa sindhu bhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaurangi Mataji ki jai.
Hari
Bhakti Sangha Japadu ki jai.
Jai.
Hari Bol.